Peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to the church for our homecoming Sunday. So thank you all for being here with us as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first is that we are going to be having a prayer vigil here on November the 4th. It's going to go from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. And we'd like to invite you to sign up to take some of these spaces and please, have a seat. Have some of the prayer time that we've got arranged. You know, the world is facing many challenges. This church is facing many challenges. And so, you know, there's a sign that's in one of the Sunday school rooms. I mentioned it last week. It says, pray until something happens. And so we're embracing the spirit of that, and we're looking forward to that coming to fruition. So please, on the way out, there is a sign-up sheet. Take a time and sign up for it. Take a leap of faith if you haven't already and join us that day. You could pray for the concerns of your heart, just a silent time to really see the power of prayer in our midst. So please join us for that. Mark 11:24 tells us, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." So come pray with us for our church and for our nation, for Israel and for personal issues. We will collect the 10 cents a meal offering next Sunday, October 29th, during our morning worship service. The proceeds from this offering goes toward helping feed the hungry in our local area. The Operation North State collection for our North Carolina retired U.S. soldiers is going on now through November 5th. And the Operation Christmas Child collection will be from November 6th through the 17th. A list of items most needed for those, both of these collections are listed on your weekly newsletter and collection boxes in the Narthex and Ed Building. Please mark your calendars for these upcoming events at Cook's. We'll observe All Saints Day on November 5th during our 10 a.m. worship service, and we'll light a candle in the name of each of our saints that have gone to be with the Lord in the past year. We hope all of you will join us for our annual Hanging of the Greens party. We'll gather in our sanctuary at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, November 19th, and we need your help to decorate our sanctuary for the first Sunday in Advent the next week. Afterwards, those that would like to can join us at Sports Page, where we've reserved the back room to enjoy dinner together. And they need a head count, so please let them know. To be sure to let Denise Reed know if you're coming to join us as soon as possible. The Queen City Ringers, this is another joyous event, will ring us into the Christmas spirit with their handbell Christmas concert on Saturday, December 2nd, from 4 to 5:30 in our sanctuary. Our very own Bonnie Pace and Clayton McDaniel are part of that group, so be sure to reserve that day and time to join us. We will receive a love offering for the group during a brief intermission. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in loving memory of Mr. and Mrs. John L. Jackson and Mr. and Mrs. J.R. Thompson and Kathy Thompson by Carol and Joe Thompson. Thank you. Those are the announcements I have. We have some special announcements for it being homecoming, but before we get to those, are there any others that need to be brought to the congregation's attention at this time?
I've got one.
Yeah, okay.
Next Sunday, the youth are going to be baking cookies for Kairos. We have Kairos October 31st through November 2nd, so pray for that. And the youth, since we can't bake them here, we're going to be going to Assurance Church, so that's next Sunday right after the worship. That includes lunch.
All right, and keep in mind if you're available and able to buy some cookies or make some. We'll never imagine how much butter, flour, sugar, and eggs can really change the dynamic. You know, we go into the prisons and we spend, like 4 days there getting to know the guys and really praying for them and really presenting Jesus Christ to them in a way that we think opens up the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So please take part in that, and you just drop them off by the church. Please remember to package them in bags of dozens. And so if you get store-bought cookies, isn't this right, you take them out and put them in a Ziploc bag with 12 each. That way they can keep a good count of them. So we need them by next Sunday. So just keep that in mind. Any other announcements? Okay, let's move forward. Reg, if you're ready.
Good morning. Being homecoming, as is our tradition, we'd like to have some reflections on the past year, and first we'd like to read those who have passed on. Ms. Hazel Dunn in March, Pat Thompson also in March, Doris Todd also in March, and Deanna Jones in August. We were blessed to have two births this year. Levi Greer Miles was born April the 17th, and Sophia Marie Dennis was born on the 1st of July. And that made Mike and Dana very, very happy grandparents. So thank you very much.
Well, we'd just like to observe and recognize our guests today. If you were a guest, we thank you for joining us today. And we'd like to just see who came from the farthest distance today to join us. If you think you've come from a long way, just let us know and we'll note you. Well, I know my family is here from New Bern, so that's about a fair ways away. Anybody else come from any distance? All right. Fayetteville. Oh, yeah. That's right. You guys don't live in New Bern anymore. They've only lived in Mount Holly for like 5 years now. So, what about the oldest member? Well, maybe that's a little delicate. That's right. That's right. What about who here has the most family members today? Ah, okay, the Thompsons. All right. Nine Thompsons. All right. Well, very good. Well, we're just thankful that everybody's here. We look forward to joining us on the lawn afterwards for a potluck lunch. We're going to have just such a great time. And Reg has some announcements about the church.
Sure. All right. Notwithstanding our obvious distraction, which if you look to your left, you'll see the remnants thereof. We had a little incident back in September when a microburst took down one of our trees onto the front of Fellowship Hall. So you can imagine that led to many, many things, notwithstanding scheduling, rescheduling, everything has had to be done towards that. But it has been a year for reflection and study here at Cook's because, folks, no longer is Cook's the demure, traditional Southern Presbyterian church on a great, big, beautiful campus. We are that, but there are a lot of changes. And we are now a church that finds itself immersed in the change that a sprawling metro area brings to us. And here we are. So to find our place in this new world, the session commissioned a vision committee to take a look at how we're going to do this thing, how we're going to handle this, how we're going to build the church from this point on. So the committee came up with three questions to come up with some solutions. Number one, who are we? Second one is, where are we going? And the third one is, how do we get there? It's pretty simple Boy Scout stuff, but we felt like that was the best way to look at it. So in doing that, we looked at the local demographics around us. That spreads out several miles, but it's still local. We looked at performance goals. What do we want to achieve? How do we want to build? Where do we want to go? And the needs of the congregation and the neighborhoods around us. For so long, we've had this has been such a family-oriented agrarian church for 100 years, and now it's a completely different thing. So we need to see where we are. We concluded as a committee that our strengths are this. We're a very loving church, always have been. We're a hardworking church, and that goes without saying. Interestingly enough, we have no outstanding debt. Not a lot of cash, but no outstanding debt, and that's very much an attribute. We have tremendous assets, both in our human assets and our property, and we have a mission that God is giving us, apparently, to nurture this community. So we need to tell this story, though. As good as we think it is, as much as we're all a part of it, we've grown up here, we've attended here, we've come in from other places and love this place, we need to form some sort of a process to let other people know. So, at that point, what we have done, We have several points. I'm just going to go through them very, very briefly that we intend to carry on during the next 6 months to a year. Number one was to form a marketing and communication team to use multiple forms of media to promote cooks and the events. Now, the old days of the bulletin and a communicator coming in the mail are gone. We do have the communicator online. Some people do request it, and it is still something that they receive in the mail. However, we need to now reach out to the modern world. We're using social media. So the first thing we decided we would do is to let people driving by know. So we're in a process of gathering funds for a new digital sign. You've seen these signs up and down the road. One of our elders took a ride back in June, I believe it was, and she came back and she said, you know, I believe we're the only church that doesn't have a digital sign that's flashing what's going to go on. So that made it even more urgent. And this is a rendition from our sign company we've commissioned. That is a first draft. We've gone through several now. It probably will not end up being a black background, but the middle part you see there that says Christmas Eve service will be the digital part. It'll still retain our logo type that we've used for many, many years, and it will be replacing the sign that you see out there now. So we're in a fundraising mode for that. The next thing we decided we would do would be to upgrade our website. We've had a website for some years, but it needed refurbishing. So we have gone back to the original company in Raleigh. They have redesigned our website. It's really, really updated. It's really informative. It's really good. So we've updated the website. You can see some of the pages passing here that you would see if you went there. We've also updated our Facebook page. And we now have some of our committee doing constant contacts on Nextdoor and that sort of thing. The next thing we're going to do is to upgrade the church-wide Wi-Fi capability and install new audio-visual in this sanctuary. That will probably be part of the insurance claim, was the renovation of sound there, but we need it in this, as you see. We communicate here, but we also stream this message each and every Sunday, and that is a ministry all within itself, so we want to make sure that we're doing that. I think our next slide, this is our new church logo. We commissioned that as well. So in the future, you're going to be seeing that logo appear in many, many places. It will not appear on the sign simply because the sign needs to be a little more compact and so forth. But we will be using that. You'll see that in communications and media all over the sources that we use. Thanks. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, sir. We now turn our attention to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, beginning with our call to worship, Ethan, if you'll get us started.
Good morning. Good morning. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. In unity, the Lord bestows eternal life and love, knitting us together as one family.
The dew of earth that falls on our side, may God bless and shower upon our gatherings today.
Let us worship in togetherness, celebrating the pleasantness and God and goodness of our God.
We come together.
Eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather here on this joyous homecoming Sunday, hearts united in praise and spirits bathed in the warmth of your boundless love. With wisdom drawn from your word, we reflect on the beauty and goodness of dwelling together in unity, cherishing the sweet fellowship that binds us together as one body in Christ. Oh, how good and pleasant it is, Lord, when your people live together in unity. Just as the precious oil flowed down Aaron's beard, so too does your grace cascade through our lives, anointing us with peace, love, and joy in your presence. We bask in the sweetness of community, lifting our voices in harmonious adoration of your holy name. We recognize, O God, that through Christ we have access to one Spirit in you. We're no longer strangers or foreigners, but citizens with the saints and members of your household. We stand, Lord, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being our cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Through your Spirit, this dwelling where you live is being built together to become a dwelling in which your Spirit lives. Together, we welcome each member of our spiritual family, both near and far, those who journey through many seasons and those who are newly embraced by your grace. May your gathering be a beacon of your love and unity, O Lord, a manifestation of the blessings that cascade down upon your people when they dwell together in harmony. Bless our time of worship, Lord. May our hearts be knit together in love and our voices rise in harmonious praise to your glorious name. Empower us to be a holy temple, reflecting your love and light to all we meet. In the blessed name of our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we make all these prayers to you. Amen. I invite you now, those who are able, to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 3. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ came to the disciples and, showing them his hands and his side, he said to them, "Peace be with you." Soon thereafter, he said to the disciples, "Just as the Father has sent me, so now I send you." Friends, it is a celebration of this peace-giving mission that Christ was on that he shares with us. Let us celebrate it by passing the peace of Christ now. Peace of Christ. We come now into a time of confessing our sins, both corporately and personally. We begin with our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. We confess because we believe that it opens us up more to the Spirit's grace and power as we admit those difficult things about ourselves that are hard to say but need to be said. So join me as we pray this morning's prayer of confession found in the bulletin. Merciful God, creator of all and architect of the universe, we approach the throne with humble hearts, recognizing our need for your grace as we seek to live in your holy temple, intricately joined together by your skilled hands. We confess that there have been moments where we have not lived in unity with one another, moments where our actions, words, and thoughts have not reflected the harmonious and holy dwelling you have crafted us to be. Forgive us, O Lord, for times when our own desires, prejudice, and pride have built walls instead of bridges, sowing discord where we should be unity. We confess, God, that there are moments when we forget that through Jesus, we all, irrespective of our backgrounds, cultures, and differences, have access to you, our Abba Father, by one Spirit. We often fall short, dividing and segregating rather than joining and unifying. Gracious Lord, dismantle the barriers we construct and dissolve the divisions we create, mending us back into a single holy edifice that glorifies you. Kindle in us, merciful one, a spirit of genuine reconciliation, and unite us, brick by brick, person by person, until we truly become a place where your Spirit comfortably dwells. Through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, we are given the promise of being built together into a dwelling where you live by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, there is a great and glorious word that comes resonant throughout the Scriptures. It resounds into our hearts and rings in our minds and our souls. It is the fact that we have been forgiven by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the great and joyous news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now we unite our hearts and minds around our faith, the faith that we believe, affirming it using the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's found in this morning's bulletin. Let us affirm our faith now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 51.
1, 2, 5, and 6.
Holy, holy.
this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward for a time that's just for them down here with me. How's it going, guys? Welcome. It's good to see you guys. How's school going? Pretty good, huh? All right. As good as school can be, huh? But it can be pretty fun, right? You're in a program where you get to do some fun stuff, right, Aiden?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you all are. I'm excited to talk this morning because we're going to talk a lot more about the church. And, you know, we think about coming to church and we think about it being a building, but it's really so much more. And the Bible talks about how it enriches our lives. And I have a story that I want to share with you that kind of captures that for kids that are younger. You know, every year at a church that I served, just like here, we did a vacation Bible school. It was a lot of fun. That year, my kids may remember, it was Camp Kilimanjaro, right? And so that was the most fun, right? We had such a good time. So I can still remember the songs, don't you? Camp Kilimanjaro. He's stopping me. That's a good thing. You don't want to hear me sing. It's a bad thing. But yeah, the Maker Fun Factory was a good one too. But Camp Kilimanjaro, there was I was a shepherd, and what shepherds did, well, they were the people that just walked the kids from their station to station and stayed with them during the meal time, and they had a good time, and we got to dance with them. Well, the very first day, we had a kid, and he was probably about 5 years old. And, you know, it was one of these kids that when the mom came to bring him, have you ever seen him? He hung behind her, right? Like he wouldn't come out from behind her. He was really, really scared. And it was very difficult to get him even to integrate to the group. And even then, it was a real chore. But something happened as we got to having fun and getting to know each other. The other kids in his group recognized that this young man was a little detached from the group. And really, without any encouraging or prompting, they began to really include him in the activities. I remember we had a thing where we walked through, we walked on water. It was we didn't really, but it was kind of recreated the effect. And I'll never forget the smile on his face as his hand was being held and he was experiencing kind of what it would feel like to walk across the water. At the end of the week, y'all, he was just having the best time. He came, he knew everybody's name. He really just took to the experience, eventually like a fish to water. But it all happened. I saw it happen because this group of children that had come through a church understood what their role was. And their role was to nurture and to help and to lead. And the young man really adopted that and was doing some of it on his own when he was able. And they came to our church since we got to see him for several years. It was a blessing. That's what we do at church, if you think about it. Really not much more different. People come into our midst and we don't really know them. But what we do know is that our Lord and Savior has given us the task to love them. And that love is we show through a lot of different ways. We ask people how they're doing. We bake cookies for them. You'd be amazed at how many friends you can make baking a dozen cookies and dropping them by. We do nice things for people because we want them to know the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what a church does. And when you get to participate in a church and do that work, like I saw some of you doing this morning, working hard to set up for homecoming, you get the blessings of knowing that you're working and that your labor is blessed and countenanced by none other than Jesus Christ. Let us pray, children. Dear God, thank you for your church. Thank you for the many ways it shapes our lives. Bless us this day, Father God, with your Spirit in your church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, kids.
This morning is very much an old gospel song. Please feel free to play it off.
to sing along, to clap, to even, I'm going to dare I say the D word, dance. I'm going to say it. So just join him.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's Word. As Presbyterians, we're people of the book, which means we look to the Word of God to provide us what we need for our spiritual development and growth. We believe that the Word speaks, and when proclaimed, it is in fact the Word of God. Before we begin such a time, though, we always begin with a word of prayer. So join me as we pray, asking for the Spirit's illumination. Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning, this glorious homecoming Sunday, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us anew. Bless our lives with your insight and wisdom coming to us in these words and their proclamation. Enable us to know with certainty the salvation we have received in Jesus Christ and the commission to do good works in your holy and everlasting name. Bless us. Father God, help us hear a word that inspires us and delivers us closer to you so that we might hear your will for us and be bolstered with the strength to carry it out. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Morning. Thank you, choir. That was great. I'm reading today Psalm 133 on page 615 in your pew Bible. Verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
Our New Testament reading is a brief one. It comes from the very end of the second chapter of Ephesians, and what a powerhouse chapter it is. There's so much that we talk about, but it resolves in a very, very interesting way, putting the emphasis really on the church and the work that we do through it. So I invite you now to hear this word from our Lord from the second chapter of Ephesians. I'll be reading verses 18 to 22. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as I was preparing for this sermon this week, I came across kind of a sweet but interesting story about a place called, I mean, it's a fictitious story, so Harmonyville, right? So Harmonyville apparently has an annual potluck. Surprise, surprise, much like what we're doing today. But in Harmonyville, the new mayor decided that he wanted to spice things up a little bit. And so in the past, where each of the families brought a particular dish, what his challenge was is that everybody had to get one secret ingredient that they had to incorporate into their dish. Well, at first, this didn't seem like such a challenge until the Smith family, who was accustomed to bringing apple pies, landed upon pickled jalapeno slices that they were going to have to put into their apple pie. Or what about the Brown family, who was known for bringing a wonderful and glorious roasted chicken, and when they opened their bag, what they found inside was chocolate sauce. So needless to say, the people of Harmonyville were not feeling very harmonious. But you know what? The spirit of adventure came upon them, and people challenged themselves, and the day of the potluck finally arrived. Believe it or not, the people of Harmonyville had accepted the challenge and had lived up to it. That apple pie with the pickled jalapenos, well, the spice cut through the sweetness of the apples, and it provided an additional kick. In the chocolate sauce in the chicken, well, they used it like a mole sauce, like Hispanics might use in their dishes, where chocolate is the base ingredient. And so even the chicken tasted good. Why do I tell this story? Well, I tell it because in a certain way, it reflects what we deal with here in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, we have a pretty cohesive community at times, and then into our midst come new people, new flavors, sometimes not quite easily adopted into the flavor profile of the church. But the neat thing is, the Holy Spirit comes and provides that spark, that creative imagination that allows us to see and embrace all people, no matter what. And then finding their gifts that were given to them by none other than Jesus Christ, incorporating that person into the life of the church to do good things for the Lord above in Jesus Christ. That's the mission. That's the goal. That's what we're called to share. But as we all know, unity is often difficult to achieve. That blending of the jalapenos with the apples takes a measure of time and dedication to get just right, just as our interactions with one another require equal amounts of energy and imagination and insight. But the fact of the matter remains that this unity that we all long for, we thirst for deeply in our souls, is one that's given to us by none other than our God above. Now, we read today, and it's just such a short and brief exposure to it, but Psalm 133 really gets us at the heart of unity. It uses some language, admittedly, that we don't quite use today much anymore. We don't really think about the dew of Hermon, or We don't oftentimes imagine good things coming when we dump a bunch of olive oil over the top of us. But these were the languages and images that the ancient Israelites used. And in Psalm 33, what it gives us is a portrait of our natural setting. Our natural setting is to be in unity with one another. That's why it's such a blessing. And I think as you have experienced this in your life, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Isn't it always easier to find ourselves in a group of like-minded people than it is to go and expose ourselves to differing opinions? Even in small things, those difficulties and disagreements can be irritating. And yet, what the Bible suggests is that it's when we're in unity with one another that we are primarily prepared to receive God's blessings. That's the point of this dew or the oil that's being anointed. When we are in unity, the Bible tells us, we are positioned maximally to receive God's blessing. When there's disunity or discord or dissatisfaction among us as a group of people, then we won't receive the maximum blessings of God because we're not prepared for them. What does that mean? Well, it means in a society and a time that is becoming increasingly disunified, that the church becomes the one focal point, the one place where brothers and sisters can truly come together in unity. Now, why would that be? Certainly, there's a host of other endeavors and activities that we could program or plug ourselves into, rather, and find ourselves participating. But none of them have the DNA, the stuff of the church that comes right into us. First of all, we go into our Bibles and we look there in Genesis, and lo and behold, what we find is that man and woman were created, and it's together that they reflect the image of God. In God's image, male and female, He created them. That is to show to us that there is a social element to our creation. We're not designed to be solo players, lone wolves out there in the world. Certainly, unity is easy to find when the only person we have to merge with or mesh with is ourselves. As I said, it's when other people come that we have to find ourselves prepared. And Psalm 133 even gives us an everlasting blessing. It's this unity that we receive from the God that's so precious and enjoyable that it's like the oil being poured or the dew of Hermon. It reminds us that this blessing that the God gives us of unity, how good and pleasant it is to dwell, has an everlasting analog. That is to say, part of what we experience here in the church is a foretaste of the kingdom of God. You know, there's an expression that I always enjoy saying because, you know, I think it makes me look smart. Now, who doesn't like to look smart? It's called the proleptic involvement of the kingdom of God, right? Which is just big words of saying, way of saying that when we engage in the church with other people and get our backs into it, what we're experiencing, the joy, the sense of satisfaction, what we're experiencing is nothing short than an analog, a foretaste of what the kingdom of God will be like. In the kingdom of God, that is heaven, we don't get many concrete images, but the ones that we do get are communal. That is, that we are celebrating together. We've come through a tremendously difficult ordeal. Life on this side of hereafter is not for the faint of heart. There's the brokenness of sin. There's the diseases that infect our body. And then there's the death that ultimately claims us. And yet, amidst this difficulty, what we find in the Church of Jesus Christ is no less the salve that our souls so desperately need. Because coming together under one roof with one guiding principle is exactly what we need to live our lives maximally. So what's the guiding principle? What brings us all together? Why is the church a spot for unity that other places can't be? And it says it there in our Ephesians passage, because here, all of us are gathered under the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ, who himself suffered and died for us and for our salvation. The central thing that binds us together, that allows us to join together today and break bread and to find commonality, is found there on the cross. A suffering servant who died, who took upon himself the sin of the world and suffered and died to draw us together. You know, the language of Ephesians here is very telling. It says we're foreigners and strangers. And these are concepts that were so meaningful to the ancient people. You know, this sense of being a foreigner was really beyond that. It was really being homeless. There was a sense in that word of not having a place to dwell. And the other word suggested you lacked citizenship. And if we know anything about the ancient world, is that people would pay really exorbitant sums of money to become a part of the Roman Empire because citizens had tremendous benefits that non-citizens didn't. And what Paul is telling the Ephesian churches is that one time, at one point, you were without any of this. You were a stranger. You were an alien. You were homeless. You were without rights. But now in the church of Jesus Christ, you have a home. You have a purpose. You have a joy that can't be taken from you. The church of Jesus Christ is the spot in which the Spirit dwells and resides permanently and fully, providing us the energy, the desire, and then the joy that comes from our ministry. You know, I've really only been a member of a church for about 20 years now. You know, I didn't start up. I didn't grow up in the Church of Jesus Christ. I didn't go to vacation Bible schools as a kid. So this world was foreign to me when I came into it in a lot of ways. And it began really wonderfully. But what I found in the 20 years of ministry is that the church truly is an amazing thing. It truly does change and shape lives and make them better. You know, it's funny, we see generations, especially the millennials and the X or the Zs and the ones beyond that, the alphas, they're growing up with this hungering need for connection. And it just breaks my heart that the one place that I know they could come and connect so fully has been kind of deprogrammed out of us in some ways. There's been some real hostility taught to kids about the church. So it's not surprising that they don't find themselves here. But that is kind of why it's incumbent upon us to live our lives filled with joy, meaning, and purpose. When we, like people living in unity, experience the blessings of God, well, then we're more resonant and we speak more boldly to others. But as I said, in this 20 years, I've seen some amazing things. And I want to spend the last half of this oration just kind of telling you a few about them. The first one, as we think about the church, is that the church is a place for spiritual growth and purpose. You know, we're called to be sanctified. That is to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a dreadfully hard thing to do on our own. All right? You need brothers and sisters to help you. And I've seen this transpire in a lot of different ways, but none of them more clearly than a man that was in my first congregation. I met him because he was marrying one of our members. It was a second marriage. They were older and advanced in their years, but they were coming together and wanted to be married. But for this particular man, it was his first time back in church in eons. And as I got to talking with him, I found out why. You see, his dad had been a pastor. But a pastor had some difficulty with their son, and there was an alienation, and the two hadn't spoken in the 20 years prior to the dad's demise. And so there was a brokenness in this man. But you see, his wife-to-be, she was one of those people that was always at church. So whether he liked it or not, he was coming if he was going to be with her. And it started to work. You could see little signs. He made a friend in this guy named Tim who was a great student of the Word. And he started coming alive. And then one day I turned around and there he was in the choir, right? The guy had joined the choir. He'd grown up singing and it was a joy to him. He really did. I'll tell you what. There was a difference about him. In fact, the presbytery that I was a part of at the time even had a training program for lay pastors. He joined it and then things in their stories moved, and he finds himself pastoring a small church in North Dakota now. His life has changed for the better, he would tell you. Because the church is this place that we come and we're able to have spiritual growth and purpose. But it's also a place where we find unity and fellowship and community that we so desperately need. And again, I've told you this before, but there were two ladies in our congregation, one of whom was going through a very tough time. I knew she was seeing a lot of doctors. I know how hard that can be when your life descends into some miasma of medical illness and you find that your days out are only going to doctors. And what a soul-draining time that can be. So I asked her, I said, well, how's it going? She's like, I'm having the most fun. I'm laughing every day. Laughing, that surprised me. Well, it turned out one of the other members of the church that she had developed a friendship with through the years of fellowship events and all sorts of things. They were going together, and they were just convinced that life was going to continue no matter what in the kingdom of God, and they were going to enjoy their time. And they did, even in doctor's waiting room. But beyond even that, the church can give you such an amazing sense of purpose and even direct you to your life's calling. And here, I'll never forget meeting a young woman who wanted to get involved with our youth because her kids were involved, and she got engaged and really got engaged, taking over the youth program after a year. And then, friends, she found herself desirous of learning more. So she went back to college. She got a counselor's degree and now is working with at-risk kids, right? So we see these people that come into the church and find something, and it can be us all, because the Spirit is here and is making it possible for us to dwell together in holy unity. That is a breakdown of all the divisions that are out there, and we know there's so many. But here in this place, we find a place to grow and experience life, friendships that last our entire lives and into the kingdom of hereafter. What a joyful place. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We now turn our thoughts and our attention to the prayers, knowing and trusting that God not only hears our prayers, but that He does indeed answer them as well. Heavenly Father, we think of so many people coming before you in prayer. Gracious God, Father God, we pray. We know, O Lord, that our words reach you. Your word tells us that you not only hear our prayers, but you do indeed act upon them as well. And so, gracious God, in the boldness of that moment, let us pray from the bottom of our hearts, lifting up to you the people and places whose lives require it. And Heavenly Father, we just lift up the whole world to you, praying for all the places in your world that are torn apart by strife and suffering. Gracious God, descend, bringing your peace and serenity onto all the places of the earth. We think, of course, of Israel and Palestine and Russia and the Ukraine. But we know, Lord, there are other places, other hot spots in the world. And so we pray your peace would descend in all those areas. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. We recognize that this is a world broken by sin, and into it we still find ourselves battered and bruised by the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. So we pray today for Aline Gant. We pray for Jack Parker and Dennis Abernathy. We pray for Charlie McCrary and Dale Lucky. We pray for Jill Griffin and Sarah Justice. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Nancy and Richard Smith. We pray for Diane Black, and we pray for all of the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayers, those we've named silently in our hearts, as well as those listed on the church prayer list. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, for its witness through the years to your grace and your glory, and we just pray for its ongoing success. Allow us to be your light in this side of Charlotte. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Concluding with the prayer, Jesus taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the many blessings you deliver into our lives. Now, as we bring a portion of those blessings back, we pray that you would sanctify this offering, using it to promote your peace and your love in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, we now come into a time of our homecoming celebration. We just invite you all to join us for our potluck meal and look forward to seeing you all out on the lawn. What a joyful day this is whenever people live together in the Lord's unity. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day. Let us pray for our meal. Heavenly Father, thank you for this meal and for the hands that prepared it. Bless us, nourish us with your meal and with this, your fellowship, allowing us to rejoice in your Holy Spirit and resonate with the world to share the love of our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'll see you out there.